This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this precious word that again tells us that thy children will suffer persecution, and that it is according to thy will that we suffer. For this is thy method of teaching, of burning out the dross, of bringing us to be conformed to the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus, for he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. O my Father, may Satan not beguile and muddy the waters in regard to thy precious word concerning this matter of suffering, and that judgment first must begin at the house of God, and that the righteous with difficulty are saved. And may we be warned in thy word that it's coming, and that it is by thy Spirit that we are able and enabled to walk in a pathway of righteousness and true holiness. So we look to thee for strength, for guidance, for leadership, for understanding, and the working of thy Spirit in our hearts, that we may follow thee fully without murmuring, complaining, without falling by the wayside, but walking with thee in love and in mercy all the days of our lives. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. Give glory and praise unto our living God for His love. And His grace is His love in action. And God's Word tells us that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And I praise the Lord for it. That love that lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and established thy going and put a song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. How gracious the Lord is, how merciful and faithful to the sons of men. And I just want to praise Him for it. Do you? Dear friend, we say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Continue to write. Continue to let us know that you are standing with us in prayer, praying that that God's Word on this broadcast will go out in power and in much assurance. Will you? Write us if we can help you. Ask about our circulating cassette ministry. These messages that we preach on the Word of Truth broadcast are available on tapes or cassettes, or the messages that we deliver in our evangelistic travels across the South during the week. Also, we want you to write for your free book that we're offering this month, entitled Profiting from the Word by A.W. Pink. It is a study in the Scriptures on different subjects: sin, God, Christ, prayer. There's 10 of them. Profiting from the Word. And truly, if you'll read this and meditate upon it with an open Bible, it will profit you as you study God's Word. And also, will you ask for your free message we mailed out this week on Christ's teaching on the new birth? We'd be happy to mail it to you if you did not get a copy in the mail. Remember, our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. The Holy Spirit laid upon our heart a few weeks ago to bring a series of messages upon the warnings of God's Word. Warnings concerning your soul and mine, for we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the series that we've been on, Christ's teaching from the Gospels. And out of it flows these messages on the warnings that our Lord Jesus gave us from His precious Word. So we understand then that the warnings of God's Word have been needful since Adam's fall, that the heart of man, because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9, God's Word warns us over and over again concerning the things that are made for our peace and how that our heart will send us to hell if we do not repent and believe the gospel of the grace of God as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. God warned Adam in Genesis 2:17 in these words, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And die he did, both spiritually and physically, when he disobeyed God and followed his own will. God warned the children of Israel in Leviticus 26 that if they kept not his commandments and despised his word, that he would punish them 7 times for their sins and scatter them among the nations. And we know from the Bible record in Jewish history that God cannot lie, that he did scatter the Jew and turned every man's heart against him, even to this day. Again, God warned the people through John the Baptist in Matthew 3:8 that if they did not bring forth fruit suitable for repentance, that the great judge would come, whose fan is in his hand, and he would thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he would burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This warning was not heeded by the religionists of Christ's day, and they put our blessed Lord to death. But then in A.D. 70, the city of Jerusalem was put to the sword, and 1.5 million Jews died in judgment, for they did not heed the warning of God. Again, God warns the Gentiles in Romans 11:21 that if he spared not the natural branches, that is the Jews, that we better take heed lest he also spare us not. He warns us not to be high-minded, but to fear. For behold, the goodness and severity of God, on them that fail severity, but toward us goodness. And then he qualifies it, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Here he warns us of our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God, according to Jude 21, and to be not high-minded, but walk in fear, knowing the severity of our God. Also, God warns us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, after giving the terrible picture of apostasy by the Israelites in the wilderness, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And my dear brother, my dear sister, I don't know of another day in which man has ever lived that we need this admonition as we need it in the day in which we're living. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Hardly do you ever hear a message warning a man to make his call and election sure. Hardly do you ever hear a message telling men that a mental profession and a consent to some truths of God's Word is not salvation. Where are men warned to take heed lest they fall, that they would not be reprobate in the end? Oh, I cry unto God that he would have mercy. As we showed you in our message last week, the Scripture speaks plainly and positively of the perseverance of the saints. Yet it is a perseverance of saints, not unregenerated professors. Did you get that? The Scripture speaks plainly and positively of the perseverance of the saints, yet it is a perseverance of saints, not unregenerate professors. Therefore, these warnings are given to hedge us about, that we might walk in a pathway of righteousness and true holiness. For you see, dear friend, God's divine provision in Christ is a most blessed and comforting truth to the true child of God. But this comforting truth is only to those, listen now, to those who walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness. It is in that pathway that we are kept by the power of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk in our own way and in our own will, we can't expect God to keep us. We are kept by the Spirit working in us. A spirit of entire dependence upon Christ, renouncing our own wisdom and our own strength. For you see, the only place from which we cannot fall is one which is down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, crying unto Him for mercy. It is there the Lord brings His own people, weaning them from all confidence in the flesh and giving them to experience. That is, when we are weak, we are strong, according to 2 Corinthians 12:10. Let me warn you, it is down at the feet of the Lord Jesus that is the only place that we cannot fall from. Therefore, these warning messages on apostasy, the turning back to sin, to Satan and the world, must be preached. Brother Peter preached it. He said in 2 Peter 1:10, 12, and 13, I must, as long as I'm in this body, stir you up to remembrance, to make your calling and election sure. I hear someone say, Pastor, what is apostasy? Will you listen? We find in 1 Timothy 1:19 that it is a making shipwreck of faith. The abandoning of the life of faith in the person of Christ and not holding it steadfast unto the end. It is making shipwreck of faith, the abandoning of the life of faith in the person of Christ, and not holding steadfast unto the end. In Hebrews 3:12, apostasy is spoken of as the heart's departure from the living God because of an evil heart of unbelief. Yes, my dear friend, all apostasy from God, whether partial or total, originates in unbelief. For you see, unbelief is a damning sin and causes the heart to depart from the living God. For unbelief makes us look at sin lightly. It makes us believe that God will not punish it, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Again, in 2 Peter 2:20, we find that apostasy is a returning to and a being overcome by the world after a previous escape from its pollution through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to listen. My dear friend out there in Radio Land, I would like to read you all of the verses in 2 Peter 2 that deals with this matter of apostasy. Oh, what a warning to everyone who has made a profession of faith in Christ. Listen, if after we have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with us than the beginning. For it had been better for us not to have known the way of righteousness, then after we have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto us. But it has happened unto us according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I want to tell you something. I tremble every time I read and meditate upon these scriptures, to see how close a man or a woman or a young person can come to the Lord and yet not be savingly joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle is not teaching here the false teaching of falling from grace. No, he is warning us that a man can come so close and yet miss it all because he turns back to his jealousy, he turns back to his hatred, he turns back to his pride, he turns back to his rebellion. He turns back to his self-righteousness. He turns back to his covetousness. He turns back to his whoremongering. He turns back to his drunkenness. He turns back to the world. And it only shows that he's missed the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never been saved because he has been overcome by the world. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, according to Matthew 12:43, 44, and 45. These scriptures make me tremble because I've seen individuals right there. They go back. They come so close, and yet they miss it all and turn back to sphere and back to the world. And my heart goes out to them. I have preached from this text in 2 Peter 2:20 two times in my life, and both times after giving forth these warnings, I have seen precious souls turn the one aside and go back because of sin in their life they were not willing to let go. Oh, may I warn you today of what it means to go back to the world, back to false religion. And I've never seen an individual yet that went back that didn't turn to some occult or turn to a religion that denied the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and denied that salvation was of the Lord and denied that God demanded and commanded holiness for any man to enter heaven. I've seen them, I've talked with them, and all my heart goes out to them as they've turned back and have been deceived by the God of this world. No wonder God's word is full of warnings to professors. To give more light on this subject of apostasy, I would like to show you the various steps which precede apostasy. First, according to Luke 9:62, there is a looking back, like Lot's wife, who though she had outwardly left Sodom, yet her heart was still there. Friend, has your heart left the world, or is it still hankering after the world? Yes, looking back to the world and its pleasures, its joys, and its riches. Looking back to the former life of sin, longing again for the flesh pots of Egypt for the world. Looking back to old friends and remembering the good old days of the flesh. When you had no trouble with the flesh and a guilty conscience, and you could go your way, looking back, and then you go to hell. Oh, may God, by His Spirit, turn you. The second thing we find in Hebrews 10:38, there is a drawing back. For you see, the requirements of Christ are too exacting to any longer appeal to your heart. The straight and narrow way no longer is the way that you find pleasant. So there is the drawing back. No longer do you pray. No longer do you search the Word of God. No longer do you like the company of God's people. There's that drawing back. And then according to John 6:66, there is that turning back. For the path of godliness is too narrow to suit the lustings of the flesh. So there is a seeking of an easier way to walk in, which shows that you never loved holiness and righteousness and God's way to begin with. Oh, what an awful thing it is to go back, to turn back, to draw back, and then to ultimately fall back. My dear friend, I speak in love. And I've cried to God to give me love, that I might speak to your never dying soul. These warnings are for everyone who named the name of Christ. There can be no looking back. There can be no drawing back. There can be no turning back. There can be no falling back. Or there will surely be apostasy. Oh, let me warn you, cease from sin. Cease from playing with sin. Cease from crying peace to your soul by saying you are a carnal Christian. Ain't no such animal. Oh, you're just speaking peace to your soul. Cease from your bitterness and your unforgiving spirit. Cease from your harboring hatred and resentment in your heart against anyone. For all of this will lead to a looking back, a drawing back, and a turning back, and then a falling back from which there is no salvation. For God said in Hebrews 12:38, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. May God deal with our hearts in mercy. My dear friend, as we have thus brought God's word on apostasy, I must stir up your heart and your mind with this last thought today. Find it found in Luke 17:36. It is the warning of our Lord Himself when He said, remember Lot's wife. What a solemn warning our Lord gives us here. He was thinking of Genesis 19:17 and the words of the two angels who had been sent to take Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of the city of Sodom before judgment fell. Their words to these four were, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. But verse 26 tells us that while they were fleeing, Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What a solemn warning to all of us, not to look back, but to look straight on to Christ. You see, it is a solemn warning when we think of the person our Lord is speaking of. Not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Sarah, or Hannah, or Ruth. No, He singles out one whose soul was lost forever. He says, remember Lot's wife. for she turned back and went to hell. It is a solemn warning when we consider the subject our Lord was upon. He was speaking about His second coming to judge the world. He was describing the awful state of unreadiness in which many will be found. The last day is on His mind when He says, "Remember Lot's wife, for she turned back and went to hell." It is a solemn warning when we think of the person who gave it, the Lord Jesus, who's full of love and mercy and compassion. He who will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. He who wept over unbelieving Jerusalem and prayed for the men that crucified Him. Yet He deemed it full of wisdom to warn us and to remind us of the awful judgment that awaits those who look back. He who loves us says, "Remember Lot's wife, for she turned back and went to hell." It is a solemn warning when we think of the persons to whom it was first given. Watch it now. Listen. Prick up your ears and get this. The Lord Jesus was speaking to His disciples. He was not addressing the scribes and Pharisees who hated Him, but Peter, James, and John, and many others who loved Him. Yet even to them He thought it good to give such a warning. Even to them, and much more to us, He says, "Remember Lot's wife, for she turned back and went to hell." It is a solemn warning when we consider the manner in which it was given. He said, "Remember Lot's wife." He bids us keep her lost state before our minds. He cries, "Remember Lot's wife, for she turned back and went to hell." And so I cry across the ether waves today, "Remember Lot's wife. She turned back and lost her never-dying soul, will you?" Listen again to Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Oh, that the Holy Spirit will take these warning words home to each and every heart today, is my cry. Would you like a copy of this message when it becomes available in print? Write us and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Also write for your free book that we're giving away this month, entitled Profiting from the Word. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.